Breaking It Down with Frank McKay. This is 103.9 LI News Radio.
I'd like to welcome everyone back to Breaking It Down and our continuing series with Yvonne Coleman Lowry. She is the subject of two different documentaries, and she is the author of a book, and we'll let you know where you can get that very shortly. And to me, she's all about Americana. I keep saying she's all about Americana, but she is. And I know some of you agree with me 100%. And, we're getting it kind of straight from the horse's mouth, an eyewitness to history. She has spent a tremendous amount of time with Girl Scouts and Girl Guides. And, I mentioned the YWCA just because it ties in so nicely with her mentoring that she's done over the years with young women and girls all over the world, and she's a world traveler. And, of course, she's the subject of this this radio series. And we're talking in the time of Corona. And it's fascinating to talk to somebody who's been around a long time and has never seen anything like this. The 84-year-old young, wonderful Yvonne Coleman Lowry is our very special guest. 84 years young. Yvonne Coleman Lowry. How are you, Yvonne?
I like that, 84 years young.
Yeah. Well, serious.
I got to thinking the other day, because I'm still getting cards from people, and I thought, next year's my 85th, so I guess it's time to have a birthday party. And
A big one.
Those kind of things have been running around in my mind.
Yeah, well, you should, that's a milestone. 85 years is a wonderful, wonderful milestone. How long were you married before Max passed?
Oh, isn't that awful? We were married in 62, and he died in 08. So
oh, wow.
Whatever that is.
Well, 62 to 92 would have been 30 years. So 40 years, 46 years. Well, 48 years. Yeah, 46 years. 46 years married. Wow.
And it was a wonderful marriage, and of course I miss him and all those kind of things. But life goes on, and the other day I was thinking about moving to Texas, and I came out to work at the YWCA as teenage program director and later as assistant executive, and but also to do graduate work. I received a master's in education.
Yeah.
And that was all that time. But I had traveled with my, while I was working, I would take a leave of absence, and we went to Africa, and we went to England, and we went to several places. He was on business. And I, felt so fortunate to be able to do those kind of things. And finally he said, are you ready to quit work? And I said, we need my income. He said, no, I think I can support you. And so those were wonderful words.
Yeah.
And so I volunteered at the YWCA for a while. But then because of a friend, became involved with Girl Scouts again. I had been a Girl Scout from the second grade through high school. However, I had dropped out, going to college and doing graduate work and those kind of things. So I'm glad to be back a part of Girl Scouting.
Yeah, terrific. Let me ask you, and again, that's a wonderful thing to have the Masters of Education. We should mention that more. Maybe this is, that was your training, and this is why you're constantly, I don't know, you're a very good storyteller. You tell your story and history very well. What were you planning on teaching?
I majored basically in working with adolescents. I guess I thought I'd just stay at the YWCA the rest of my life.
Yeah.
Not teaching, but I needed that was the degree I got because it was the most practical for what, I could see myself doing. And I never thought of myself as a teacher. I always thought of myself as working in some way with adolescent, basically girls. Never was around boys much. I had a cousin, a male cousin, but he was the youngest in the whole group of cousins. And the rest of them, well, there's not many of them, but they, you know, they were girls. And one of my cousins had two sons. Two of my cousins have two sons each. And that generation became males, whereas my generation were females. I hadn't even thought about that before, but that's the way it worked out. But, you know, I had such a wonderful years in junior high and senior high school. One reason was because of the YWCA. They had an excellent program at that time called Y Teens. And it was sort of a club-like thing. But we had officers, and then we had a this was in junior and senior high. And then there was a senior planning board, which was made up of two or three representatives from each club that, you know, worked with the staff at the YWCA as a whole. And I became really involved in all of that and represented Knoxville, Tennessee, and the YWCA at a meeting in Nashville one time as a girl. And, oh, you know, I thought, oh, boy, this is really neat. And they, you know, it was mostly adults, and I think there were maybe five of us girls that were there, but I remember that was a wonderful experience. And the adult leaders and all, well, there was a trip to Washington, New York City, which is one of these telecasts that I got to do. And when I had such a wonderful teenage years, and so many people, so many of the girls in my class did not take advantage of some of the things that I did. My parents were very kind to me as far as, you know, making sure that if I had a chance to go to Washington, D.C. and New York City, that they would make a way for me to do that. And so I was fortunate in that way. And my daddy was a model railroader and was on the national committee or board, I guess you'd say. He was secretary for a number of years. And we traveled a lot. And I did, you know, I just had a lot of advantages when I was a girl. So that was fortunate. And I wanted that. To me, I think that's why I wanted to work with girls. And I wanted to get, you know, I always said I'm going to get a master's degree, and I also said I was going to get a PhD. And when I went back to do that after my husband died, the first test I had to take was mathematics, and I knew so little about mathematics. All I know how to do is add and subtract, and you know, maybe multiply, but I couldn't pass the first test, and so I just gave up. I shouldn't have, but I just gave up. And but that's okay.
Yeah. Well, listen, it's you know, it's interesting. And again, I'll reintroduce our guest to those who are just tuning in late, or maybe turning on their radios or their computers a little late. Yvonne Coleman Lowry is our very special guest, the subject of two separate documentaries and a radio series here with us, and soon to be the author of a new book. We'll let everyone know all the details as they come out, and very shortly, Yvonne Coleman Lowry here with me, Frank McKay. You mentioned, you know, how kind your parents were, and one of the first things you mentioned was, you know, the traveling. And really, that is such a big part of a young person's development, is that traveling. First of all, there's a feeling of self-esteem, you know, if you can go somewhere and visit places that other people just read in about in books. But the fact that your dad was into the model railroading, and he went to places, if I remember correctly, Indiana, and then you know went even out out west a little. Maybe it was New Mexico, one of the areas you popped into. But anyway, different areas around the country. Chicago, I think you mentioned Chicago and Indiana. But I mean, this is wonderful, especially then. You know, how often do young girls, you know, young women, get that opportunity? And I noticed it's one of the first things you mentioned when you mentioned how generous they are. That they were generous with their time, and that helps your development, and of course your sister's development.
Yes, and I mean, you know, Daddy wanted to, when he was model railroading, he wanted to go to the national convention and all these kind of things, and he was an officer. And the thing about it was that he wanted to give us the opportunity, my sister and I, the opportunity of doing things. And we had that, one of the first Woody Ford station wagons after the war, and he wanted to take that everywhere, and we did. We traveled everywhere in that Ford station wagon that was made out of wood, and those were, it was something he enjoyed, but he wanted to give my sister and I the experience of traveling, because a lot of times some of the people, the men that would come to that, they would come alone. You know, they didn't bring their wives or they didn't bring their children. And Daddy always wanted to make sure that that the whole family was involved, and that was good.
Yeah, I mean that's certainly a departure from a lot of husbands and fathers. They wanted to get away from their kids, and they wanted to enjoy their, and God knows what they would do, drinking and partying with the guys. Kind of, it was great that your dad included you and your mom and your sister involved in that. Do you remember what you did? And again, Yvonne Coleman Larry is the voice that you're hearing, Frank McKay here with Yvonne. Do you remember what you did to pass the time in the car? Again, this is before the time of electronics, of course, and before the time of a lot of things. I imagine reading. You did a lot of reading in the car.
And I did a lot of reading. And but I also, of course, after a while, you get on a stretch of highway, I'm thinking, you're seeing the same thing, as far as. But also, I don't have a singing voice, but, I would sing. Probably drove the rest of the family crazy. but I enjoyed singing. And in those days, you could buy these things that had the words to the songs. I don't know if they had the tunes written or not, but it would be reading material, maybe the background on what you're singing, kind of thing. But I can remember sitting back there, probably driving everybody crazy, because I usually sit on the back seat, singing. Whatever the latest songs were in the 50s, or that was probably the 40s and 50s. But I could read and ride really well. And I found that true when I fly, or when I don't ride the train anymore, but I used to ride the train quite a bit. And or also Greyhound bus between Knoxville, Tennessee and Fort Worth, Texas. Oh, I rode that lots of times. And my parents got to the place, instead of driving out here, they would take the bus, and they'd take the Greyhound from Knoxville, Tennessee to Memphis, Tennessee. And then there was sort of a layover before they could get a bus on into Dallas, Dallas, not Fort Worth, into Dallas, and we'd always go over and pick them up there. But it got in early morning. They had, nodded and slept on the bus to get to Memphis, and the bus station was not far from the Peabody Hotel. And so they, you know, they'd always say, oh, we had breakfast at the Peabody Hotel. And so that was, you know, that was, it was fun for them. And that was, you know, nice that they were able to do that. But I learned to sleep well in a car or on a bus or train or even airplane. You know, that's one nice thing. And I have to admit that I am most fortunate that I don't have a sleeping problem. I go to bed, any place between 10 and midnight, and I sleep a good 8 hours. I woke up this morning, and I don't like to wake up and the sun's not up, but that's what, now that we've changed the clock time, that my, you know, 7:30 is when I usually wake up, and this morning it was still dark. We're also having rain right now, and I thought, oh, it can't be time to get up, even though I woke up on my own. I seldom, well, on Sunday mornings, to be sure I get to church on time, I set the alarm clock, but that's the only morning, unless something really special is, or that I have to be someplace fairly early. But anyway, I have good sleep habits, and I am proud of that.
Maybe that's why you're 84 years young and are, is still going strong. I mean, you're getting a lot done here. Just in the last couple of years, the two documentaries, the book, all the radio, the traveling. You're active. I mean, you're getting as much done at 84 that you got, it sounds like, that you got done at 54, you know. It's and that's a, you know, it's a big, you know, gap there. That's 30 years, you know. And am I right? I mean, you're getting a lot of production out of your life at this point. And you got a long way to go. I mean, anyone that they can't see you now because we're talking on radio here. But if you were to see you, you look like, to me, you look like you haven't lost a step along the way. And of course you have, and I have, and we all have. But you got to feel pretty good about where you are.
Well, I do, and I'm so thankful because I lost three good friends and my sister this past year. And I have to admit, it really hit me hard because these were people that I did things with. And last year when I had my physical, the doctor said, well, I think you'll make it over 100. And this past week, time for my biannual checkup. And he says, well, I'm seeing 99. And I said, you've taken a year off of my life. He said, well, you just had a year.
Wow. Well, 99 is pretty good, too. But you know what? We don't know. We do know one thing. Life changes like that. And you know, I'm snapping my fingers there like that. There's been a couple of events over the last 20, 30 years. One we're in the middle of, and that's coronavirus. And who would have seen this? I mean, 3 weeks ago when we were talking, if I said to you, I think we're going to all be quarantined, and I think this is going to be a worldwide epidemic, and everybody's going to shut down, I don't think we would have believed it, either one of us.
Well, no, I didn't even consider it until,
very recent.
Until the government says, you know, you're not going to have more than 10 people. You shouldn't be with more than 10 people at a time or whatever. And up until last week, I mean, I continued to do activities and all that I do. But now, you know, everything is, well, I'm not anticipating doing anything until the federal government tells us that it looks safe. And that may not ever be.
it will be. It always seems like it's going to be forever. And then at the end of the day, it's really not that long. And this is unusual circumstances. We're living in the Twilight Zone a little bit. I don't know if you ever watched the Twilight Zone, but we're living, you know, in science fiction books. Any last thoughts or any advice to people? We got about a minute left. any advice to folks out there that are on their own and what they should be doing?
Well, read a bit, and of course you can entertain yourself with television and I don't even know how many people have radios anymore, but the thing right. about it is, but I mean, we just need to what the our doctors and the federal government tells us is safe at this time, and we have so many brilliant people in the world. They're going to come up with a vaccine that that we'll be able to get to.
I agree.
To take care of this, and I'm not going to worry about it. I'm going to enjoy being at home, and it's time for me to downsize some rooms that have gotten piled up, and so that is on my agenda for the next few weeks. That and there was a big, there's going to be a sale this weekend at Goodwill. I don't know, Salvation Army, and I had been putting some stuff together, and the word got out. You know, it will not be this weekend, and the deadline has been extended to bring things in. And I thought maybe a lot of people will downsize and get rid of the things that they don't need, and see that the get it to the Salvation Army or someplace so that people can either buy it or receive it if they need to it. And I know that I certainly have clothes and stuff I'll probably never wear again, because I don't go to entertainment kind of places anymore where I want to dress up. But anyway, we just have to abide by what is best for everybody.
I'm with you 100%. Thank you very much for being here. Congratulations on everything, and just please stay safe.
All right. Thank you so much. Enjoyed it. Bye-bye.
Well, we've been speaking to Yvonne Coleman Lowry. She is a master's of she has a master's of education, and she certainly has educated me a lot since we had this conversation. And whenever I talk to her, I think Americana, and she is Americana, whatever you want to pronounce it, but she is the subject of two documentaries. We'll let you know where the second one and the first one will be able to see them all together. We'll make sure of that. Binge listen to iHeartRadio, Yvonne Coleman Lowry, and we'll let you know when the book comes out. Frank McKay signing off. Yvonne Coleman Lowry has been our very special guest. iHeartRadio.com is a great place to binge listen. Frank McKay signing off. We'll see you next time on Breaking It Down.